My scrope brings all the girls to the yard.
Eager citizens are already lining up at sterilization centers, which will be opened around the clock to aid in the transition to what the president termed a clean break with procreation.
Today's death count is 578. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 131. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian, gross neighbor with a coal sore Dunaway.
No disassemble. Johnny 5 is alive. No disassemble. I swear if you disassemble Johnny number 5, I will haunt your ass into the dystopian future and destroy you. Disassemble.
Only you would find a short circuit reference in this horrible film.
He was always trying to disassemble somebody. I couldn't help it. My brain was inexplicably tied to that.
All right. Well, we'll get more into that in a minute. Also with us, Randy. Geez, I wonder why they call him Shades Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Scott, Brian. This week, I may as well be Admiral James Stockdale. Who am I? What am I doing here? I don't know, and I don't think we're going to find out, because no flesh shall be spared, and even the Pope doesn't know what that means. I do know one thing for sure. Scott doesn't get to choose for at least a month.
I did not choose hardware. I didn't choose hardware. That is incorrect. I don't know who chose it, but it wasn't
I don't
me.
Know if I chose this or not, because I've already watched this movie.
What? Is that the second time you've seen it?
Yeah, I was watching. I was like, wait a minute. I've seen this movie.
I'd never seen it. I didn't pick it, but yeah, I may end up surprising you guys.
Yeah. If you say anything other than, well, never
I
mind.
May surprise you never what mind. I thought of it. Yeah. Yeah, we blame Randy. Third, final, and always great to bring up the rear, if you know what I mean. Brian, squeeze that tube, Ibbot.
You know, I don't know how great it's going to be me bringing up the rear, because I did have a short circuit joke. I said it's short circuit meets panic room. But my notes, I hated this film so much. My notes basically say the sequel, Plumbing, was not well received.
That's all your notes?
That is one third of my notes. The other two I'm saving for the show.
All right. Boy, you really didn't like it.
I hated this.
Really?
I can't think of another movie that made me feel. You know, Romney came in after I watched this film and asked me if I felt like I was better off after watching this movie. And I can't say that I'm better off after watching
this movie. Wait, who came in asking you that?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. All right, got it. Right. For a minute, I thought you were meaning somebody else and then said Romney. No.
Better off now than you were 2 hours ago.
Exactly. And I cannot say I was better off after watching this movie.
Of course you couldn't. Well, you don't lie and you're a normal person.
All right, let's before we start shaving our opinions all over the floor, let's let Scott Fletcher explain what the hell this is.
Hardware. In a post-apocalypse wasteland, desert scavenger Moses Baxter, played by Dylan McDermott, buys a robotic head as a gift for his artist girlfriend, played by Stacey Travis, who uses it in one of her own sculptures, unaware that the dismantled android is capable of reconstructing itself. And after just doing that, the single-minded cyborg is ready to carry out its prime directive, to kill all humans! John Lynch also stars in this cautionary cult classic.
Cult classic?
True.
Is it?
Cult true. Classic. It is a cult classic, true, and it even enjoys a 50-something rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So yeah,
does all right on IMDb as well. It's surprising.
Slightly better than average, which blows my mind. Who is watching this and calling it a cult classic?
I don't know. Unless you want to pick more fights with these wet, hot American summer people, which I don't.
That's fine. Bring it on. Defend this. Defend this movie.
I'm going to defend the movie a little bit.
All right, Brian, go ahead. The floor is yours. What are you going to have? What?
I'm just going to say the movie wasn't that bad, and it was limited by its cheap budget.
guaranteed. Yeah, granted,
sure.
It was what, 1990?
Mm-hmm. No, see, I got to stop you there. I'm going to nominate this for the film that we've watched in all of FilmSack that is the most late to the game. If you had said to me, "Watch this movie; it's from 1982," I would have believed you.
Really? Mm-hmm. I thought it enjoyed a nice late '80s, early '90s vibe with the. MTV video kind of
the Guar video,
directing. Yeah. If not for a couple of things that set it in that time, though, like the quality of the film just drags it backwards so badly.
I'll give you this.
Is there anything in the quality of the film, or are you talking about the acting and the direction? Because define quality when you say quality. Yeah, because I didn't see anything inherently wrong with the shots or any of that. So define quality. Yeah,
this is a horrible movie. What are you talking about? Did you watch the Dylan McDermott Iggy Pop movie about a dude?
Wait. Did you say Iggy Pop? Did you say Iggy Pop?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have a rule about today's episode. Anytime you say Iggy Pop, I have to play this.
The man with the industrial dick.
All right, every time.
Nice. Oh, great.
I totally forgot I had to do that this episode.
Good luck with that.
Oh. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'm a little curious. I didn't hate it as much as it sounds like Emmett or you did either. But I also think it's real bad. I think it's not retrograde bad, but it's pretty bad.
No. And to me, it's not a cult classic necessarily, but it does enjoy some of the elements of some of our favorite cult classics. And like I said, it skids right on the edge of making a point, and it never quite does it. But
jeez.
I'll surmise that at the end of my Twitter post.
Okay. Right.
This is the film that's going to make me talk up Retrograde.
Are you kidding me?
I'm tired of Retrograde getting called out as the worst we've seen after this.
This had a baby chained to a dead mama in the hall. Okay, come on.
If you take Dolph Lundgren from Retrograde and just drop the whole character into this movie, it gets elevated by whole points.
All right, I give you that.
Did I just mention that Styles, I mean Shades, in this movie?
Nice comparison.
Was dropping acid to Buddha Asia type religion? I mean, come on.
You're making that a positive case.
Yeah, exactly. This movie had, there's potential. A very cool looking robot head, right?
Brian Ibbett, an empty canvas has potential.
I know. I'm saying, but here's, it
had a nice post-apocalyptic canvas.
Oh, Randy, don't get me wrong. I'm not defending this film, but I'm saying here's where basically they were handed the keys to something that could have been even entertaining. You look at Star Crash. I would watch Star Crash 100 times before I watch this movie again because Star Crash was bad.
100 times.
I would too. If you said, "Hey, watch this again or Star Crash 100 times."
No, I'm talking. Yeah, okay. 100.
I would say 100 as well. I would.
This is no fun. I mean, this is like great. There's a hot redhead in here. Oh, they're not even going to show her naked unless it's in freaking infrared.
What
potential redeeming quality of this?
They showed her naked, her boobies, side boobs.
Barely.
It feels like we're in one of those childhood soccer scrums and no one outside can see the ball.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can we kind of lay out what this film's about? Like, what did we see before we just all stand there in a huddle?
It's really odd. And I think the reason I'm not quite ready to say it's the worst thing I've ever seen is because I like odd. I like being shown something kind of different. I agree with Ibbett. It is not fun. Mm-hmm. There's nothing fun about it. It's almost like it's better. It's one of those movies that's better in your head than it ever really was for people who probably like it. Having seen it for the first time here, there are things. There's steampunk. There's a post-apocalyptic hellscape. There's things I like that I dig on. You know, genres I can get my head around. I like big robots that go crazy. I like people in lots of red light. You know, whatever. I'm down with all that stuff. Like the motif is, like Ibbett says, the canvas is there, ready for you to put paint on it.
Yeah.
And then they don't know what they're making. They don't know if they're making a horror movie or if they're making science fiction.
Right.
Or even science fiction horror in a weird way. They're not really sure they're doing that. They're not sure if they're just having a weird little art movie where people sit and say really inane things back and forth
yes,
to each other.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up because right. It was such something that just bothered the crap out of me is that they were trying to be so artsy with like the slow motion stuff mm-hmm. and the super close-ups on people's face, especially Dylan McDermott, who I think must have it in his contract that he must appear naked in everything he does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot who was Buck.
I just want to say just for a second, you know, our director here was part of the MTV generation directors. So a lot of that stuff you saw, all this crazy close up.
Is that where he gets his stuff from? Or
Richard Stanley. Yeah, I believe he did some directing, MTV videos and that type of thing. Mm. And I'll tell you, I don't think Children of Men could have existed without this movie because this movie came out a few years before it was even written.
Maybe. No. I think those things, certainly things have influences, but I don't think who wrote Children of Men or even later directed it went, saw this. You know what?
Even knew this movie existed.
Yeah.
They stole it. They were up late night, one night watching HBO. They saw this movie and they started
writing. Stealing everything. They were going Blade Runner. They were kind of going Terminator. They were doing a little bit of Alien. Like they were mashing this all up into one ball. I don't think any of this thing is real, is very original. But right. The way they combined them and then had basically three endings in a row.
Right.
I'd have been happy if that gun barrage was it. That would have been fine. I'd have been done. Oh, the girl.
I know.
You know.
I looked at my watch probably 10 times after the first time they shoot him out through the window. And he's like dangling. You know, before you see him dangling on the wire.
Yeah.
No, that's a symbol.
This movie's only 90 minutes long. And I was looking at the time 15 minutes into it.
I was more mad because it was 49 minutes before anyone died. What's the point of your horror movie if you're going to take 49 minutes?
Don't give me that crap. Like, they didn't at least give you little people to look at who were scary.
Oh, that guy's
scary.
Great. That guy's great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
But, like, my problem with the film is that it's really, really hard to describe and synopsize in the first place. Like, poor Scott Fletcher's synopsis.
Scott did fantastic.
Yeah, but even that, like, you want to expand that by leaps and bounds because, like, oh, he finds a robot head. He gives it to his girlfriend as a Christmas gift. You're like, wait, stop. Why would he do that? And the answer is she's an industrial artist.
Yeah.
And painter.
And that's the kind of thing you would give that kind of person.
On welfare.
But my point is the whole film has all of that sort of crap and it piles up and piles up until you can't keep it all straight.
Yeah.
Crap or little gems.
No.
Yeah.
Like
so
diamonds.
A,
like diamonds floating against the beach.
She's a found material artist who locks herself up in her panic room apartment. Right. And won't even let her boyfriend in when he's got stuff, found material for her art. So even her quote unquote job of being a found material artist is flawed because she won't go out and find material.
Yeah.
She has Styles. Oh, did again. Shades, who brings her the stuff. They've been hanging out. Obviously, they're obviously doing stuff.
Well,
she's got
he has
him
to practically
all,
beg her to let him in.
Right. Well, not him. She didn't want new man. No, Moses. Old guy come back. She didn't want old boyfriend to come back with new boyfriend there. You know, don't want that.
Yeah. The movie would have been better if she would have woke up at the end and the whole thing was a dream.
Well,
and
I
hate
she,
movies like that, but this is one of those where it just so claustrophobic, so filmed in one place, so not telling me what the rest of this world is.
Right. And that's
just wake up from a dream and tell me it was a dream. And she's just some, you know, modern girl working in a office and she just had a nap. That's, I would have liked that.
Right. But, you know, she's obviously depressed. She when she's not welding and stuff, she's sleeping.
She's smoking pot, watching Guar videos. No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Watching Guar videos whose actual song playing in the Guar video is Ministry.
Right.
Weird. Why'd you do that? Although, okay, back it up, though.
Satellite in the future.
The only thing I kind of liked in the movie was the weird-ass music from soundtrack to what they used for licensed stuff I thought was kind of interesting. At least kind of interesting.
When he was dying, when Harmo, when Harmo was slowly slipping away and cutting his wrist for whatever reason, some of that classic music was it's just fantastic, and it kind of reminds me of some of the stuff we see more modern. So I think even though overall I can definitely see this movie is kind of thrown together in some parts, but in some parts it's like, holy crap, am I seeing something that later on influenced other movies?
No,
because some of the things I saw was the first times I'd really seen it. Mm. So I'm just thinking. Mm.
Fletcher has a word for you.
Bleep you.
That's what he has.
Like, for example, one of the most stark ways that you can create drama is by designing a character to be a peeping Tom. It just gives you access to so much. You've got the whole person who knows you, but you don't know that they know you, or you don't know how well they know you, and so there's a huge power imbalance. And then,
but it's a separate movie. It's almost like, why even? I don't understand even the point of having that whole subplot. Having Porkins, by the way, played Porkins in Star Wars,
right?
Having that guy come out and do all that. What was the point of that, Randy?
My point is that
thing
sort of
the first thing to kill.
Well, yeah, that's true. Finally, 49 minutes later, we got a target. Holy shit. That isn't the bed or the sheets. Go ahead, Randy. Go ahead.
I was just saying that sort of characterization gives you a long way to go. You have all of this drama that you can create. Not a single bit of it new to this movie. Not a single bit. The guy who's the peeping Tom realizes she's in danger. The robot that comes to life in her apartment closes all the blinds so the peeping Tom can't see anymore.
How many times do you hear about a robot closing the blinds to keep people out? I mean, that happens every single movie I watch. My God.
I knew. But do you know?
Sorry,
tell me, Scott, the drapes.
Tell me, Scott, you agree, like, you saw that all coming.
Oh, yeah. Every bit of it. As soon as he smiled, like, he sees the robot's face right in the camera.
Yeah.
And I went. And he jerks back, and I kind of laughed. And then he goes, gets this look on his face like, okay, here's my chance. And I went, really? Really? We're going to make a separate movie and then jam it up the butthole of this already bad movie?
Right.
And then there's another movie, because for no reason anybody can explain, the neurotoxin that this thing uses to kill people gives you a nice hallucination scene before they die.
Right.
So now we have this whole other film, this whole other landscape where we can go play with all of this LSD crap that we've seen again and again and again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how many movies this thing is. I'm going to keep thinking of them as we go.
There are many. That thing where he's cutting his wrists open was sufficiently gross, but also just none of it was needed. None
Seems
of it
so
added to anything.
Yeah, yes.
It didn't add anything. Like, in a weird way, I really appreciate a simple James Cameron approach to action sci-fi horror. Like, I would have loved if you could just come take this over. Kind of like this director, first day on the job on the island of Dr. Moreau. First day of the job, gets fired.
He was the writer, right?
Fired.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Fired the very first day.
He still gets writing credit, though.
Not in the film's credits. He does on IMDb, but if you play this movie, he doesn't get anything.
They get the strike through font in there.
There's so much farting around in this film. Like, James Cameron, a great example, where every, you know, you may feel like Cameron may be formulaic, but every scene, no matter how distant it may seem from the plot, is still doing some character development. Mm-hmm. You're still getting some background.
Whatever. Rose could have moved over so he could get Leonardo could have got on the freaking float and it would have been fine.
What? No, the door would not have supported both of them. It's been proven.
the best part, by the way, of what you just said is that Skype cut him out right when he said freaking, and it sounded like he said
oh, really?
Like a totally F-bombed, yeah.
Well, I did F-bomb earlier in the show, and I hope Skype bleeped that one out. But.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, it's pretty bad, Brian. I just want – here's the thing. Brian is one of my most favorite people in the world, one of my best friends, and he always sees life through as rosy a colored glasses as you can. Brian Dunaway is not somebody to walk into a situation and see a very negative thing and just look for more negative. He'll walk into a negative thing and go, all right, well, let's see what's good about this scenario. And you know what? It's something I really like about Brian. And I think you're probably doing a little bit of that here, and it probably needs it, because otherwise this would be pure hate fest the entire episode. But I'm going to just to throw a bone toward the positive side, here are the couple of things I thought were okay. The Netflix quality was way better than it had any right to be.
Right.
Oh, man.
Crispy, shiny HD. Yep. It looked real good.
Yep, and this film has tons of like infrared vision and a lot of really low lights, mm-hmm. like really low lighting,
so it desperately needs good
HD.
Mm-hmm. And it looked good that way. That was impressive. And then the second thing for me was they kind of got, the acting was bad and it broke it pretty quick for me, but they kind of got the look of the grimy, gritty, oiled up, dirt, high rad count looking future crap fest.
But did you feel satisfied by that? I mean, as someone who's a huge fan of post-apocalyptic films,
mm-hmm. Everybody did you feel?
Yeah, I know.
Post-apocalyptic.
Did you feel like it was? It didn't have to be a post-apocalyptic film if they didn't do the setup at the beginning, like with the guy out in the desert pulling robot pieces out of the dirt. Like, that was really the aspect of it that made it post-apocalyptic.
You're
90%
right.
of the film takes place in this apartment.
You're right. The first 10 minutes did that for me, and then the rest of it kind of lost it. Like, it got too – that's probably more budgetary than anything, but at some point they're like, all right, well, we pay for the robot head, and clearly we just need two guys, two arms in these sleeves here to look like robot arms.
Right.
And then we'll just run around. In fact, the part where it looks like he's on wheels, we'll just – accidentally filmed the part where his legs are hanging out the bottom and you can see the guy moving around. We'll just go ahead and let that all slide.
And they
lost that edge. But when they got there and they were showing the stuff to the little person and he was checking it out and being overdubbed as I've ever heard any actor in the history of film sack, all of those things were fine. Like, it was kind of cool looking at stuff, scanning it with goggles that clearly don't do anything. I like dirty, rusty, crappy crap. I like that. But then they just quit doing it.
Right, and I'm gonna tell you where my mind was at during this movie.
Go.
Also, by the way, this movie was rated X. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, they had to redo it.
Really?
They had to recut it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to IMDb, rated X.
If you have those sex scenes in natural light, yeah. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Oh
right.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to watch the X version? Maybe I'll like it a little bit more.
Right. That's funny. Now, but this is my mind frame. Okay. I was. Since I'd already seen this one, I went ahead and watched the next movie that we're going to be doing, which is Empire of the Ants.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I watched that and saw Joan Collins. I was like, hey, Joan Collins back in the 70s, you know, she wasn't who I thought she was. She's not that one-dimensional flat character we saw so much of during the 80s. So where did that lead me? It led me to see that she was in a Tales from the Crypt. And I was like, huh. I was like, that's weird. It was one from 1972. Now, this is well before the series on HBO or any of those.
There was a Tales from the Crypt in 72?
It was a movie, yeah, and she was in it. It was a bunch of short stories, and they've redone them too. And I watched. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube. I'll send you the link later. Mm. But you can watch the whole thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so I did. And then I started remembering all those fantastic terror comic books I used to read as a kid. All those horror comics,
yeah,
because that's what all that stuff was based on. And then I went back and said, okay, well, I better watch Hardware since I've already seen it. I better catch up,
make sure you're
kind of go through it. So that's what I did. And going in with that mindset, thinking of, you know, the sci-fi horror kind of really weird things you just don't see that often, it just kind of fit in with my whole mindset of what I've been watching lately and looking at. So,
well, it's based on some old British comic, right? The 2000 AD series or whatever.
Which was the Judge Dredd thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Is a sub-story of Judge Dredd. And so to that, this spoke to me like it was like a graphic novel come to life. One of those really bad graphic novels that you would see during the 80s that was just totally over the top. Just,
well, it's funny.
Just gross you out.
It's funny you say that because it did feel like a combination of pulp novel.
Right.
I'm not saying they did it well. I'm just saying that the elements of a pulp novel were there. The science fiction bit were there. Her sitting around and complaining and smoking a lot was there.
Right.
Like it was a more of a, I don't know.
If you could almost capture scenes from this movie. That's why I thought the director did well about it. You could almost capture scenes from this movie, and because there's not a lot of movement lots of times, and just capture still frames and just put captions on stuff. And I think that maybe that's probably where I'm seeing more than is probably there or is ever intended. But because of that, I enjoyed it.
I think that's a failure, though, because, I mean, look at the first Hulk, the Ang Lee Hulk, tried to do the same thing. Right, exactly. But that film tried to look like a comic book. It tried to do the panel thing and tried to do the really cool angles and the really cool shots and the freeze frames and stuff like that. I mean, it went further in the gimmick than what you're describing.
And I'm going to promise you, if you take the 2003 Hulk and stop it every few seconds, you have a really great scene to look at. You could make a coffee table book out of it.
Oh yeah, that's a beautifully shot movie. Actually, yeah. It brings up a funny thing I've always said about that movie. They tried to bring in the panels to make it feel like a comic book and forgot that the reason comics have panels is to recreate the sense that a film gave you. And right. So you right. didn't need to do that. It was already a thing to make up for the fact that it wasn't a movie in the first place. And now you've tried to, it's weird. It's almost, I can't think of another comparison like that, but what a weird thing to try to reproduce.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's gimmicky as hell. But
so whatever. Netflix quality aside.
Yeah. So what did I say? My second thing was, the look of it early on, I thought was had potential.
Scott loves post-apocalyptic.
Yes. Like Scott, that's the thing. I didn't think this had enough of it. I would not have guessed that this had enough of it to satisfy Scott.
It didn't. It didn't satisfy it. But okay. But if I'm having it, I'm saying, here is a giant piece of poo, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to pick the diamonds out of it. Okay. And it's hard because there aren't very many, and they're way down deep inside of this poo.
It's like trying to pick out whole pieces of corn.
Yeah, exactly. And this dinosaur poo, I mean, the guy had it was like burritos and stuff. It's like the worst poo you've ever had. And I still got to find the diamonds. And those are just the two that I do. And actually, I'll say this. My favorite moment in the whole movie, this is ridiculous, and if you blinked, you missed it. But it's those two hobos selling little red trees out in the street.
Oh, yes.
I thought they were great. And why did you even have, what's his name? This guy.
The man with the industrial dick.
That guy. Why was he even in this? What was the point?
Right. Well, he was used even more. I mean, you know who's used even better was the taxi driver, who was Lemmy from Motorhead, pops in while they're driving, pops in a Motorhead song like that.
Right, right.
Okay, the two things I liked in this film were Lemmy, little guest appearance, and hey, listen to these guys, and he pops in the Motorhead, Ace of Spades. And then going off of what Brian Dunaway said, a freeze frame you could take of the robot near the end when he's standing over the keyboard panel and the lights coming up behind him, and he's leaning forward way close and he's got his arms outstretched. I was like, okay, that's cool looking. Oh, yeah, but it's surrounded by poop.
Right. And it was cool looking because it was totally that MTV very video MTV. Kind of thing.
Yes. Could have heard Frankie Goes to Hollywood sing in the background. Right. It would not have felt out of place.
Yeah, that was you guys are right. It's not good, you guys. It's a bit.
This film has some amazing tropes. Like,
start with this one. This, go. What do you got?
The weakness to water. Oh my gosh!
It goes right.
It goes back to the Wizard of Oz, right? You throw the Wicked Witch of the West some water and she melts, right?
Yep. Yeah, and but she didn't have no design flaw. She was just a witch.
It's in so many films, though, Brian. It's in Signs and.
But it was so well done in Signs. It was so fun in Signs.
I love Signs. That's got hair lip in it, right, Brian?
Right.
It does. Yeah. It's got hair lip.
It's got, it's got hair lip.
It does. I like this trope, too. It takes your comm system, your phone comm system, takes 15 keystrokes to just answer the damn thing.
Yeah.
Just have a one button. I understand. I mean, they had it right in Aliens. Ripley hit a button, and there was Paul Reiser rubbing his eye and asking what the hell was going on. That's all you need. You don't need to go tack, attack, tick, tack, tack, enter. Hello? All right, I'll talk to you later. And it took her another 5 or 6 to hang up.
I heard some filmmaker explaining why, even in 2012, we still have sci-fi where people do a lot of clicking rather than in Star Trek, they do a lot of talking to the computer, which is so inefficient.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the explanation is that the audience feels like there's something happening when if you just watched someone browse the internet, it would not be very entertaining. So they type.
I think you can do that, but you have to do it with things that are still mysterious in terms of tech. So make teleportation complicated. Make, I don't know, firing torpedoes, giant electronic, lasers, make that complicated. Right. But when you got a freaking phone or you're looking up a name, or you got to open the door, I think you have to start appealing to our modern sensibilities, which is, I would never use that. That is totally horrible design. You know, why is Packard Bell making all the future technology for us? Like, what is going on there? Really, really weird.
Another trope?
Oh, another trope. Wait, hold on. I hope it's about a giant fake glove.
No, I was just going to bring up the obligatory shower scene. What is it about showers that's so...
especially dirty ones.
That fits so right in the narrative of pretty much any character that you almost never see people actually eat. You almost never see them actually, you know, pee or poop or whatever. Like all of the things that people actually do, you never see except showers. Boy, you love to get somebody in the shower.
Well, showers are sexy. They can be unless you're wearing a moon boot on your hand again, like that guy.
You're not as vulnerable when you're pooping or eating as you are when you're taking a shower.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. It builds. That's why I said the obligatory shower scene. It builds unnecessary tension.
Yeah,
in your pants. Oh,
to limit my exposure to vulnerability, I both poop and eat at the same time. That way,
right.
One down, two to go.
Get the shower. I've never showering at the same time.
Exactly.
Two to go. That's funny. Yeah.
I've never called out this trope before, but look backwards through our film sack films, and you will see so many shower scenes, and in some cases, quadriplegic. Sponge bath scenes.
Which is fantastic.
And it's just fascinating.
Mother.
Monkey shines. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Hell of a story.
I thought it was good, though, because you know, there's a lot of filth. And there's always, you know, that underlying idea that the cleansing of all the bad things, the shower, and everything is let go. And I think it had its place. I just was worried that he was going to have a moisture problem in his man glove hand, and it was gonna explode.
That glove hand just looked awkward and in the way and way too soft, and it wasn't the thing they wanted it to be, which was like his cybernetic replacement for some war wound.
Right. Some
instead
cool.
It just looked real dumb.
Right. With a couple hoses sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And every time he'd have to use it, he'd have to kind of go, because he couldn't articulate the fingers. So I was like, it's like working at Disneyland as Mickey Mouse with those big white gloves that you can't hold anything with. Yeah, and I just thought, man, speaking of him, though, the guy doesn't age. Like, he looks identical
he's
today.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He's really weird. I mean, I just saw him just about cook his junk on that American Horror Story. And he was naked there, too, by the way. And he doesn't age. He's 50 something now. He doesn't age.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. And I don't think it's plastic surgery. He doesn't look like he's had anything done. He looks the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah, clean. Why have a long face, Dylan McDermott?
Yeah.
Penn
Jillette in a dark room. Why did I write that down? Oh, because I thought...
That's who you thought it was?
No, I didn't think it was him.
I
just looked
Porkins
like him.
Was Penn Jillette.
Well, I didn't think it was him, but he had the ponytail and he had the... Right. He just looked kind of like him. And I could picture Penn Jillette. When nobody's looking, I could picture him getting weird in a room like that.
Mm. I know. Watching people and telling them to stir
drooling,
it.
Drooling
stuff.
Over a...
He would have been a good choice for that role.
Stir that up.
Would have been much more entertaining.
That was bad.
Although, hey, you know, Porkins. It's good to see William Hootkins get some work.
That... That role brings up a trope for me.
Oh, you got a trope? Let me play the trope sound.
Yeah, the thing where you know something so much that the person you're trying to help you don't believe or pay attention to what they're telling you right in front of you.
Yeah,
right. You know, so like he goes in and she's all like, "No, it's still here," and he is too busy.
He had
paying
one
attention
thing
to what
on
he's
his,
doing.
Yeah, he had one thing on his mind.
It's that trope that, freaks
that
me
lip.
Out.
Yeah.
That's you know?
That guy was seriously interested in his...
My scrote.
His scrote.
My scrote.
And his little wibbly wobbly song or whatever it was.
Oh, Lord.
Do you realize how often in films everything would have been better if you just believed what somebody told you to your face the first time?
Right, yeah. Right. It'd be over
with. But then you wouldn't have the first idiot to die.
True.
Right.
Which is your trope, you know? If you're gonna have a damsel in distress, or if you're gonna have a group of people and a madman or a killer or a stupid robot or whatever, you know, the trope is that whoever is the biggest asshole is going to be the one to get killed first.
Yep, that's always the way it's supposed to work. But then the best death in the movie by far was like that Benson guy down in the basement,
football player guy.
Yeah, with the pads on.
Yeah.
The guy that got squished in the door, man.
Yeah.
Then shot his
spraying blood everywhere. Just
love it.
Which is
Styles is freaking out. Shades.
Slowest door to run through ever. And this guy feels like he's got to take a running leap.
And he is like so freaking out, man, because he's dropped so much acid. He's like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah, but he's got to jump. He has to jump over Benson to get over there. So I think that was an obstacle for him, just to get over the guy who'd already been cut in half laying there.
Sure.
And then accidentally shooting what's his name in the head. There were things that made me laugh. You know,
shades in his gun safety. At the very end, watching her in the Styles. Like watching her in the shower, and he's like, oh, and he's rubbing the gun. He's got his finger still on the trigger. He's rubbing the gun against his neck. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, what are you doing in the shower?
Right, right. Love it.
Pretty bad. Yeah. All right. What else? Let's see.
I love the cigarettes, though. The cigarette brand was Good Vibes. Major Good Vibes.
Was it Good Vibes, really?
Yeah, it's called Major Good Vibes. Cigarettes.
Major Good Vibes.
I actually like the packaging. It was kind of neat.
Oh, I forgot. My favorite thing in the movie. I already said it was the hobos with the red trees, but I'm going to replace that with when Porkins licked her nose.
Oh, yes.
And she didn't seem to react.
No.
I thought to myself, this is the grossest thing that could ever happen to you. He's got cold sores that can't just be normal. He's disgusting and really gross, and he just licked you in the nose and then turned around and sang a song, and you're not reacting at all. She didn't have a problem with it. She didn't say a thing. Sure, go ahead and scan Boston Legal for any rads while he was out in the field, but let's not worry when freaking Porkins licks your nose.
Right, yeah. Right.
Gross. Yeah.
She is one of those relief artists. So
that grossed me out so much, you guys. Seriously, I had like a stomach ache when I saw that
happen. Can I just say the one part that did bother me in this movie? Yeah. I mean, by far. The only one flaw in this movie.
No, shut up.
Only one.
I'm just overcompensating for all the hate. Mm. All right, so guns are not the most effective way to fight a robot, people. Just don't do it. Unless you can stand right at his face and shoot it right in the electronic eye or something. Yeah. No good.
That always seems like a bad idea.
The baseball bat, and even firing a gun that shoots it straight horizontally through a movie through a window for some reason.
Through a movie.
If that freaking thing could have been recalled by Skynet to get its moisture problem fixed, they would have never defeated it.
Been unstoppable.
Yeah, but the baseball bat thing is a trope too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many films have you seen where somebody goes with a baseball bat when there have to be better choices?
It seems like the worst choice. The whole time I thought, that's not going to do anything, you guys. He just tore a bed to shreds.
What the hell is PC load letter?
PC load letter.
PC load letter.
Did the robot have a penis, or is that just me?
Randy got my reference.
I got it.
Did the robot have a penis? It did. The drill.
No, you mean the drill? Robot
that drill penis. He had a drill penis.
Love it.
He did, because remember, he was coming at her like all kind of weird, rapey-ish looking. And I remember, and I'm looking down at that little thing going, oh, great. Really? He's going to have a little drill penis.
Right. I don't know if they specifically say that's what's going on, but he can handle up to like six attachments or something like that, I think he said. That's what they said. I'm just quoting the movie.
The Mark 13 can handle six attachments.
Which confused me because the short fat guy in the trade place, he was all like us, more legs than a spider. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. And to have him go and have the little guy go, ooh, this has got a lot of crazy micro circuitry.
Right.
Shut up.
Impressive.
At least be creative with your freaking tech words, you know?
I did like how Jill goes all office based on the cyborg in the shower after she had enough. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
That was, you like that?
Beats him like a printer.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah.
All right. Well, sweet. Well, I think anybody else got anything big? Anything that we've forgotten about? Drill penises, licking noses?
I thought that there was a serious trope to talk about in the concept of population control.
There you go.
And I've been thinking about it, and I can't think of very many films, actually.
Like where you find out at the end, spoiler alert, that this thing is basically going to be mass-produced to cut down on population.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like,
was that the idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly the idea. Yeah.
The movie's so bad that one out of four people can watch it.
You didn't watch Sword of Man?
I kind of sort of got that, but I didn't exactly get that. I kind of thought it was a scrapped. Oh, no, because they were making a bunch more and they had 800 new jobs. And
that was the Iggy Pop. That was the other purpose of Iggy Pop.
The man with the industrial dick.
Sorry.
To reveal that little bit of
Iggy Pop.
And the thing is, it starts with, if you're paying attention to what's on the TV and the radio, it starts with a notice that they're going to be trying to population control.
Right.
And okay, but I really thought there was a lot of that. Like I was sitting there thinking, oh, what a trope, population control. Children of Men is actually the opposite of that. Yeah. They're trying to populate.
And they can't, right.
Right.
Forgot about that.
Boy. I love that. I can't think of many. Like, okay, I guess Starship
Troopers. V for Vendetta had that. That terrible show that didn't last very long on TV that Brian watched most of it of, and I teased you incessantly on TMS about it. The dinosaur go back in time one.
Oh yeah.
They had a control. Terranova so in the early or the early part of it. They had this. If you had more than one kid or whatever, you'd get that kid taken or killed.
So I really spent some time thinking about this.
Have you ever noticed? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say Brian Dunaway's favorite film AI has some some early talk about population control because. Yeah. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we need to stop all the reproduction. Starship Troopers. Yeah. My first thought was Soylent Green. No, actually, Soylent Green wouldn't have happened if there'd been some population control.
Yeah, you need the green to get the people to get the green.
You need the green.
It's like a trope that's not really that tropey.
Logan's Run.
Yeah, and the island. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the island.
Yeah.
No, the island is just about future tech.
Yeah.
Gattaca
was about, yes, but it was about controlling it by only having the best possible genetic versions of people.
Right.
And shaving off the ones with weaknesses or bad eyes or whatever.
E.T.? No.
No.
All right. that was about gun control. I forgot.
You know what? You're right. It feels like there should be more of those.
Yeah, I'm surprised there aren't.
Maybe there are. We're just not thinking of them. Listeners always write in and tell us. So,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why does the Asian population always do well in the future dystopia?
They're all having a nice dinner, kind of hanging out down there.
Especially in Hollywood films made around this time. You'll remember 1990 was like the dead center of the Japan is going to take over the world craze.
Yep.
They're always doing so well, even in the future after everything else destroyed. It's like, well, we got this. We've had the nukes. We can deal with this.
They're resilient as hell, dude. Especially in China, people can live in the most, to us, look like the most squalid of circumstances, but they're in there inventing, you know, better cars or something.
Right. And Mac-wise.
Yeah. My brother Matt is not, this isn't the best example, but he's the most Korean of the Korean siblings I have in that he came and he still has his accent. He was relatively old when he came here. And he is kind of this. Like he's not very well versed in English. He doesn't really have much of an extended education to speak of, but he's scrappy as hell and he just makes stuff work. And somehow he's like, everyone always talks about this. My brother Matt worked for UPS for years and before that was a cook at some restaurant. He's the only one of any of us. And I've got siblings who've got, and I'm not kidding about this, way too much money. I shouldn't say that, but a lot of money. And yet Matt is the only one whose house is paid off, owns every car he has. Like, they're scrappy. Like, it's a weird kind of non-debt, don't let the rest of this circumstance affect you, just put your nose to the grindstone and make enough rice for everyone to eat tonight kind of ideal.
Oh, my God. You were doing just fine. Oh, you're doing fine.
They're all going, white people are so stupid. Look at them now. Look how far have they fallen.
It works.
Where's your credit now, white man?
Well,
so moving on.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean, though. There's a scrappiness to it, and I can't explain it other than that.
Certainly not going to explain it by race. I'm sorry, but
I'm just saying I could be dead wrong, and maybe this is a stereotype that just no one's offended by yet. But I think not all, you know, certain Asian populations are just really resourceful.
I'm not
they can come.
We just watched The Karate Kid. We saw Mr. Miyagi living in squalor where at his workplace, but at home he had six cars.
Look at Japan. See, this will be fun to talk about.
Comes
back. Listen, this is okay. It's a fair conversation. From Japan in World War II, taken to the lowest depths possible by any war, really.
Right.
They come back and become a huge world superpower, make more cars than we do, and their stuff is kind of awesome.
Okay, yes.
They can deal with it.
They picked themselves up and made it work.
That is, no, wait, stop.
What?
if you're gonna go here, I have to follow you here and remind you that there was a 7-year reconstruction of the country of Japan.
Right.
And the Western world poured an immense amount of resources into that country.
No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right about that.
So now Randy's downplaying the Japanese ability to stand on
See, this is why this kind of topic, Brian Dunaway just illustrated perfectly why this kind of topic has no business in this podcast.
No, I think it has. I think it's totally worth talking about. It's an interesting topic. I don't think none of this is, if anyone's offensive by this, they're offended by this, then don't listen to this show. Because it's interesting to think about, is there a cultural standard that helps certain cultures build back up or something.
I think they get favored in movies, in post-apocalyptic type movies a lot of times, mm-hmm. because I don't know what it is. It always seems to work. I think it's because maybe we assume there's a black market already exists in Asian
cultures. Well, we see them as like
cultures
technological.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Blade Runner is a great example of this.
Blade Runner, you know, Firefly. Fifth Element.
Yep.
Firefly's got a bunch of that. Yeah,
Firefly.
It's just, I don't know. I mean,
for, that's one of the things I thought was fun about this movie is the fact they had that in there.
To me, this isn't just a simple argument of Chinese people are better at math. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that Asian countries seem to have they're kind of awesome. They kind of show us up sometimes. Right, they'll do stuff and go, damn it, why didn't we make a robot called Osimo that could run across the stage?
And the thing is, we represent that and we reflect that in our cultural movies and stuff. We recognize.
Why can't we make tentacle rape comics? Just kidding. All right.
That's a good question, actually. You finally got around to the point.
All right.
That's what I was to say. Perfect.
All right. Well, let's move on from drill penises and Asian stereotypes to what are we doing here? We're playing some clips. And here's where we get to meet Angry Bob for the first time.
This is Angry Bob, the man with the industrial dick, coming at you loud and clear on WAR Radio. Rise and shine, folks. It's a beautiful day. Just look at that sky. It's a work of art.
It's a what?
It's a work of art.
I think that's art. A terrible, most what? Worst reading ever, Iggy Pop.
Work of art. Right. Well, that's how he talks. That's
yeah.
What radio station was that again?
WAR radio? That's horrible.
War radio, dude.
That's not funny at all.
No,
it's not. But they wanted it to be. You just know that they meant that to be funny.
War. It's like a radio station. It's letters of war.
All they play is Low Rider.
Nice.
That's right.
I like it.
That one song.
Let's see. This is where we first meet the little guy.
You just wait. All those years out in the zone, your kids will make me look like Narcissus.
And that is not your voice.
Narcissus.
He's a British actor, first of all.
I'd love to know what his real voice sounds like.
Well, he's a British voice. He's a British actor, and that ain't him. That is not that guy.
Your kids will make me look like Narcissus. I don't get it.
No.
Yeah.
Narcissus? I mean, Narcissus is the source of
self-obsessed.
Narcissism.
The dude who looked in the pool and saw his reflection and basically just stayed there forever looking at his reflection.
His fate was to never stop looking at himself or whatever.
I mean, I guess he's good looking. Maybe Adonis might have been a better choice.
Maybe. It's really
And
weird.
This is the point you're going to get stuck on. Okay.
Here's your...
just one of many.
Here's some Rise and Shine stuff. I think this is also Iggy Pop.
Rise and Shine! Ah!
So I like that because now I have...
I love the screams.
I'll just use that for whenever I need a bad screen.
I love how you could one day we're going to sum up the pantheon of Film Sack with a long edited together scream.
Oh, yeah.
Scream montage.
Heck yeah, dude. We'll hear things like and what we just heard. That's one of my favorites. Let's try this one. Let's see here. Oh, clean break from procreation.
Eager citizens are already lining up at sterilization centers, which will be opened around the clock to aid in the transition to what the president termed a clean break with procreation.
Yeah, that's the thing the president would say. And but you know what? I kind of like that. It's kind of RoboCop-y, but I kind of like that part because then it said, oh, there's a larger society here. It isn't just this room. There's more going on. And I liked it any time it tried to do that. Mm-hmm. And then it got dumb again. But, you know, at least give me a sense that this is you're part of a bigger thing. Like Blade Runner's better at this, at saying.
Oh, absolutely. A little bit bigger budget. But
yeah, it's like, well, it's very you are lonely, but it's huge.
Lonely.
You're Harrison Ford in a room with a chick, but really it's much bigger than you. But it still feels lonely. I don't know. There's an art to it. Mm-hmm. Clearly. Ridley Scott knows what he's doing.
Right.
And I like how I emphasized Ridley.
Ridley.
Being very careful about which Scott I reference. Let's see. Oh, here's my favorite euphemism I've ever heard about a dirty guy watching somebody else get it on.
Squeeze that tube.
Ugh.
You squeeze
oh my God.
That tube. I love it.
That tube.
I'll tell you, man. That was some bad, nasty dialogue.
Right.
He was watching that because I was squirming, man. I was like, oh.
But also kind of dumb.
Oh.
Stir that pot. Squeeze that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
Oh yeah,
right.
It's bad.
He was saying a thing that wasn't happening. I don't want to say it, but he was,
right.
I was like, no,
we can't repeat. We can't
she's
repeat.
She's not
anything.
Doing that.
Yeah, that's not
she's
what's
totally
happening.
Not in the position to be doing that.
Oh, Porkins, you're so silly.
Oh man.
Apparently, you know, according to trivia, he ad-libbed all that. Yes, Randy.
I wouldn't.
I am having a problem with the fact that we're like playing quotes and laughing at the movie and everything because I don't want to encourage anybody out there to watch the movie, but I want to encourage them to listen to FilmSack and enjoy the podcast. And I'm confused.
Nah, see, here's the thing: it's a the fair people thing. Who we're going to watch that have already watched it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there might be people who aren't watching, who don't plan to watch it, who've gotten this far, and we can just say, don't watch it.
Yeah. I think you should watch it.
Folks, if Brian Ibbett just described you, I'm sorry.
There are people, I got tweets today, replies today going, oh my gosh, this is the biggest pile of crap. But they recognize that it's a good movie for film sex. It's all fine.
Right.
Choose what you want.
Yeah, I'm going to argue with that too.
Why? I think it's a great film.
Providing some entertaining talk here, I will say that.
Yeah.
Oh man, we have stayed on this movie just about the entire time, and it'd be so easy to talk about other movies.
I have a question for you. Just reminded me, I have a question for you guys.
Oh wait, do I have a thing like that? Yes.
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
But I mean, just I think you can all figure out how this relates to what we're talking about. Are you like first in line or opening weekend going to go see Arnold Schwarzenegger as a small town border sheriff who has to take out the trash?
Yes. The answer is yes, because I want to experience what it used to be like to see a first day opening of a Schwarzenegger movie in a role he has no business being in. I really do. I want to get back to that. Like, he should not be a border sheriff in a freaking small western town and have his dumb accent and be Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's the stupidest idea, and I can't wait to see it. I'm stoked for that.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm waiting for the DVD, thanks.
See, isn't that interesting that there's that big a difference between Scott Johnson and Brian
Dunaway? I'm sure it's
Dunaway?
Horrible. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm only taking Kim. No way I'm going to spend that kind of money on the whole family.
I'm not taking everybody. Yeah. I can't take everybody of this crap. Come on.
Yeah. I just want to see him.
But you're not going to be first in line to see Triplets, sequel to Twins.
No, I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't see any of those. I don't care about that. But what I care about is Schwarzenegger doing what like Van Damme used to do all the time. It's like Van Damme would show up in a movie and go, why are you Guile in Street Fighter exactly? You're this, you talk in this Belgian accent. You look nothing like him. How are you Guile? And I like that they try to, well, he's our biggest star. What do we do? Well, this movie's about a border sheriff. In a western town. Okay, well, let's make Schwarzenegger that guy. Well, wait, he doesn't have anything. Just put him in.
Yeah, the big reason that basically the movies that I go to opening weekend are the movies that I'm really afraid are going to get spoiled for me later on. So Prometheus, the big event movies, Avengers, things like that. I don't think I'm not at all worried about somebody saying, hey, in that new Arnold Schwarzenegger film, he says, I'll be back. It's like there's not going to be any... There's
no
not
kid.
Gonna be any spoilers.
That's true.
There's not gonna be people talking about the spoilers.
He might says, "I'll be back." I guarantee he says it.
I guarantee.
I hope
he probably
doesn't.
Open the film with that.
Yeah, probably just here he is on the border with his gun.
Everybody, I'll be back.
Surrounded by a bunch of heck. Sheriff, what do you want us today? You want us to go around back, see if we can sniff him out? Yeah, you want to do it. Like it's gonna be bad, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited though.
By the way, go to any famous actor, actress in Wikipedia. Scroll toward the bottom of the page before all the references. There's usually a list of all their films. Mm. Almost always a list of all their films. Or when they're really, really prolific, there's a list of their most well-known films.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is weird. I don't know where the list is in Wikipedia. Obviously, IMDb is where you should go. If that's what you want. But it's just strange to me that this is a famous actor, right?
Yeah.
Actor.
And he don't
talks
have,
about
like,
his bodybuilding, his penis pictures, and his gubernatorial run.
It's under acting career. There's see also Arnold Schwarzenegger filmography.
Right. It's just kind of wedged in there somewhere.
It's because he's got so much bigger stuff. Yeah, it's probably bigger. That's why. I'm sure. Yeah, Wikipedia does that all the time. Something's
too big.
It's
because Pauly Shore doesn't have a political career, so you can stick all of his movies there at the bottom.
Brian, yet.
So, yet.
I'm holding out hope.
Governor Shore. What can we do for you?
Governor Weasel. All
so right. I want to like talk Brian Dunaway into being a first weekend, opening weekend viewer of The Last Stand. Like, What if I told you that Kim Ji-woon is directing the film? Does that help you at all?
No.
No?
No.
What if one of the Buseys was in it?
He's not. If your name,
he's not, but what if he was?
If your last name is Kim, if your last name is
one of the Buseys, it's got to be Gary.
If your last name starts with the sound G, should you allow yourself to be first named Kim? It sounds like you're calling him Kimchi.
Kimchi. That's all I'm
saying. Kimchi Woon. Like, that's what awesome. It sounds like.
I've had a kimchi wound before. All right. Let's listen to the little guy again.
I can't talk on the phone. There's too many ears. Meet me in 1 hour.
I sound like George Carlin somehow over this.
Savvy?
Thing. All right. Another savvy. Pointless yell. Love the pointless yells.
Yeah, me too.
There you go. One more. I don't remember where that was from, though. Oh, no, I know what it was. That was just a guy yelling for no reason. That was the dirty guy.
Because in the future, things suck, and sometimes you got to yell.
When did he yell?
Didn't he just get all, he was like all horny and then just yelled?
That was,
what?
That was his climax yell? Don't you just play this? Did you just play us his climax yell? Oh, my God.
It was something like that. It wasn't just
I'm going to play my own noise. Oh, oh.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
It burns.
All right. this is a stupid line from Shades. Check it out.
My heart. Nice.
Shades, what's wrong with you?
It feels like an alligator.
My heart feels like an alligator.
My heart feels like an alligator. Oh, no, there goes my Twitter post.
Can you please? I wish every episode of Film Sack had a subtitle. Film
Just
Sack.
To explain it.
My heart feels like an alligator.
It's so performance art bullcrap for no reason. It's just.
I actually asked aloud. Is that like I'm like? Is that, did you just say that my heart feels like an alligator? But the movie was so bad, I didn't care to go back and
care.
Find out.
No, it's like I could skip back 30 seconds, but really, do I really want to do that? No. Here's the dirty neighbor saying hi.
Hi.
That's all we need.
Hi.
Yeah. Creepy.
Porkins.
I can't pull up. I'm too fat.
Rest in peace, Porkins.
Yeah, I kind of
really shows you how clever Lucas was with the name. So the actor's name, William Hootkins.
Yeah.
He's fat. We'll just call him Porkins.
Porkins.
Well, he was Red Six.
Well, but they called him Porkins.
Fat guy. You know, come on.
Yeah, Lucas did that a lot. With names. He's Darth Sidious. Come on.
I'm so glad for the whole read this standing by, read that standing by. It gave us something to do in chat for the rest of the existence of the internet.
I'm too fat. Stay on target. I'm too fat. I know a lot about you.
I know a lot about you. I know things about you that you probably don't even know.
He's overstating.
Like what? I got a mole on my butt. How do you know?
All right, Mister. All right, Mister. Mister Pushy.
You should probably have that checked out.
Right. And what was with the way he would hide himself when he would prank call her with that butt shot?
Piece of paper and all his eyes showing through.
This is Moses. This is hard Mo.
You could be fully exposed on that crappy screen, that crappy black and white screen, and still, do you live in this building? Really?
I have never seen you.
You're not hard, Mo. You're
bathed like Penn Jillette in red light. All right, here's another one.
Lamps, those
you
are.
Smoke a lot of dope. You smoke a lot of dope.
I really liked it when he was over.
I really like the fact that most of your clips are him.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Hi.
That guy's great, dude. Oh, you want more? Fine, here.
Oh, we all walk the wibberly wobberly walk.
Hell.
And we all talk the wibberly wobberly talk.
Dog.
I think you're kind of proving my point that they've got something there with that character.
Right.
They just don't go anywhere with it.
They like, do. He's a good character actor. He can do stuff. He's creepy. He's
but
weird.
they just ultimately bring him across the street and kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's really too bad that this film isn't entirely about the view from the Peeping Tom's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like a Rear Window.
It's like a Rear Window Porkins. Yeah. Edition. Yeah.
Porkins
like
edition.
Pork yeah, this, window.
This film.
front window. Must throat.
Must throat.
People don't know that's a soundboard clip.
No, they don't. They think Brian's just saying it. I better, Brian, Scott? Here, laugh hard or say something.
Musgrove.
See?
Musgrove.
It's just separate.
So Scott recorded Brian Dunaway saying that before the show, just to be clear. That was before the show.
Yeah. It wasn't some secret night where we had together. Is that Wibberly Wobberly thing? Is that a kid song I should know about, or is that just the thing they made up?
I bet that's improvised as well.
Yeah, it seemed like a
thing.
Wibberly Wobberly.
Of course.
No, shut up. Really?
Trying to find it.
You googling Wibberly Wobberly?
No. You're looking up the wrong keyword. It needs to be
Musgrove.
Then you'll find it. All right, while you're looking that up, here's what is up with this music getting thrown in there during the hallucination.
Like I love that.
Les Miserables going on there.
I thought that was fantastic.
Like I said, the music, not that so much, but the rest of the music was kind of interesting.
Sorry, I was expecting Les Miserables to get me.
I don't like saying it the real way, and I don't like the saying of the way everyone around here. Around here, there's some statistic that says Utah has more money spent per ticket per capita on that play than any other market in the country. And I don't know why. It is a special thing here. Everyone freaking loves that, and it's just some cultural thing. Well, my mom just refuses to call it anything other than Les Mis. So that's how they all refer to each other. It's like they're a little short for it. It's like, oh, Les Mis. Right. Did you guys see the latest Les Mis production? Oh, it's fantastic. I cannot get enough of Les Mis. And it makes me want to kick him in
Musgrove
every time.
The weird thing is, I just Googled Les Miserables, and I put the word Utah in the end of it. And the first thing that came up was the Utah Shakespeare Festival. And I wanted to ask the good folks down in Cedar City, that you're aware, right, that Les Miserables, like, it's not Shakespeare.
No, it's not. They know it's not. That's come up in conversation before. They just run it because it's popular. It's not.
That scream that time for me, for some reason, sounded like Steve Martin and Roxanne. I don't know why.
Weird. Oh, I can see that.
That's weird.
That's good. You remember the scene where he's walking down the street and he puts a coin in the newspaper machine and pulls a newspaper out and then he reads it and he starts screaming?
No.
Then he pulls another quarter out of his pocket so he can put the newspaper back.
Yeah.
I want to go cap it now. I want to go cap
that. Like that scream.
Okay. I'll go look that up. All right, that's it for Clippies.
Oh, thank God.
You don't want any more?
I want this episode.
I could do more here.
I want this episode to end so bad, my Twitter post is going to be four characters long.
Hi.
Right. I know what those four characters are going to be.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, let's move on to awards then. Here we go. Found the clip. It is time for awards. This film has won some awards, if believe it or not, and they are the following. The Never Ages Award goes to Dylan McDermott.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's got
the Mitt Romney in him.
He does. We got the award for Two of the Actors Had Long Careers for No Reason Award. Both him and the chick. Long lists on IMDb. The girl's in all kinds of modern stuff now. And
but also
not just
Porkins.
Crap.
You need to add Porkins to that list.
Yeah, we'll put Porkins on there.
Mm-hmm. His career is surprisingly long.
Yeah, but it wasn't after this. He only like 4 years after this and he died. Let's see what else. He did the Wibberly Wobberly walk too long.
Wibberly Wobberly.
When you, here's my favorite award. The When Your Fat Dwarf is from Britain Dub 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 Award. That's the award they got. And then finally some Star Trek connections. Iggy Pop was in, let's see, Deep Space Nine. He played Angry Bob here.
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
The Man with the Industrial Dick.
Almost forgot. DS9 played Yulgrin of the In Magnificent Ferengi. I'm sorry. The Magnificent Ferengi. There's no in. I don't know why I wrote that in there. Thank you, Daryl, for sending that over. He was our Trek nerd.
He played what were they called? Wayun was a...
I don't know.
An
aging punk rocker.
That's why I don't look like I'm playing some kind of bad game from the game show from the 80s.
Two words.
A Vorta. He was a Vorta.
No, Iggy not the Pop. Horta, not the pain Hortas,
no,
right?
Iggy Pop was a Vorta. The people who have multiple lives and kind of direct the dominion.
But not like Vorta or Horta. How do you spell it? V-O-R?
V-O-R-T-A.
All right.
Yes, Iggy Pop, and he did a really good job. He was like the best Vorta, in my opinion.
That's the one where Spock put his hand on him and went,
pain!
Is that the one?
No. Pain! Okay.
Not that one then. All right. Let's, what are we doing here? Oh, we're moving on to the soundtrack grade, which I'd give it an I for interesting. I would just say it was interesting. Wasn't great. Wasn't bad. It was just kind of a weird pick, and I don't know. Something about it I liked.
I think it worked. There was definitely different. There was at least three different directions they were going with the soundtrack and just the sound itself. Mm-hmm. And I think it worked.
Some of it.
I felt effectively creeped
some
out.
Some of it was weird. Having Guar on with the Ministry song was weird. That was weird.
I'm nervous that we've drifted away from this being clearly one of the three or four worst films we've ever watched together.
No, it's easily the one of the worst.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that I wanted to end as badly as this.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I talked to this movie led to me finding out about a series of Japanese horror movies in the 80s that were made by some manga artist called the Guinea Pig series. Have you guys heard of this?
Yeah. No.
And I'm kind of sad I learned about it because it's really, really gory. And I didn't see the movie, but I saw some screenshots. And anyway, I did one of these internet things where you end up just down the rabbit hole, connecting directors with special effects. And before you know it, you're finding stuff that you didn't know existed. And I don't know why I'm telling you this. Oh, I know why I'm telling you this, because there are some people who consider this one of the best representations of space horror. And I don't understand why you'd say that. I mean, I guess there were a couple of jumpy moments, but maybe they were jumpy then and not so much now. I didn't, none of it I walked away from going, oh yeah, it's rough around the edges, but I would classic definitely not, in the genre, you know?
I would never put this above 50%. I think Rotten Tomatoes has it spot on with the people who review it. I mean, it's not the worst movie. It's not the best movie. It's got some bad things. It's got some good things.
It made money.
That's weird. It feels right along the middle. I think it's worth watching so you can go, yeah, I'll watch that crap.
Wasn't hard to make money. You only spent $1.5 million on the budget. But.
Right. There's just like when I always try to take the temperature of the four of us, you know, and there are a few films.
Get out of my
that,
bowl.
Sorry.
How are you trying to do that?
I try to come away from an episode and say, you know, that was a Waxwork episode. That was a The Swarm episode. Everybody pretty much agreed that it was just crap. Exactly. That's a good point. And then sometimes it's a bad movie, but someone had a lot of fun, like Breaking Two, Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this is just, how could anybody have really enjoyed
this?
There
was no fun in it. Mm-hmm. No fun, except for the show, and that's it. Really, that we are making fun.
Yeah, this is the best part of watching that movie.
Yeah, by far. By far, dude. By
this is
far.
The only bright spot of watching that movie.
Well, sweet. Let's do our Twitter post. 140 characters or less. Let's sum it up. Randy, what do you got?
Hardware. Why?
Man, characters to spare.
Those weren't the four letters I thought you were going to use.
All right, no. I know.
W-H-Y question mark.
All right, perfect. Let's go to Dunaway.
Hardware. A movie that requires a second viewing, but only deserves one. You put me in a no-win situation, Mr. Stanley.
Oh, my God. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Hold on. I have to open up the window and cry that out to the world.
That's pretty good. I know what it'll sound like if you do that. It'll sound like this.
No, that's a symbol. That's a symbol that means dead.
All right. Back to Mr. Ibbett.
Hardware. A robot goes nuts in an apartment trying to kill everyone inside, including a cute redhead and a creepy peeping Tom, who gets robot thumbs shoved in his eyes. Lucky bastard.
Oh, I love it.
Chaos, that robot. Mm-hmm. I think the robot wasn't fleshed out enough, honestly. I could have used more. No, I don't mean that. I just mean more character development for the robot. More like, why is this thing?
Well, I'm glancing at the 2000 AD comic, and the robot in there is better than the it's a hand two dimensional robot, and it's
of course,
it's shouting stupid things like severe.
Well, let me tell you about this. Here's what I learned while you took 49 minutes to have the robot do anything. The worst way to meditate is while you have Iggy Pop on the radio.
Right?
How could she do that? The robot is like Professor X with his powers. Because remember, like when he was just a head? How'd he get all that stuff all rolling up in there to make a body and stuff?
Yeah, how'd you get stuff rolling up in you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, pork
and what up, yo?
Yeah.
And then finally, you know you're in trouble when your last-ditch idea is calling shades. And that's what I learned. I got an email here from Skip C, rather, from Brewer. What's ME? I can't think what ME is.
Maryland.
No.
Maine.
MN was, no, MN is Minnesota. Yeah, whatever.
It's Maine.
All right. Hi there, Sackers. There's a lot of M states. They all get screwed up. Mississippi's MI.
Mm-hmm.
Mer. Yeah. Mo. Hard mo.
There's no mo, I guess, but.
According it's Maine. To the damn it, Brewer, Maine.
According to the internet, M-A, right?
All right, Skip C from Brewer, Maine says, hey there, Sackers. I had flashbacks during the Karate Kid episode when you pleased the synth music from the soundtrack. I don't know what that means. Pleased it?
I like to please it.
I can't be the only, that's what it says. I can't be the only one who started hearing Kumite.
Oh, played, probably. Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, that, you got to autocorrect, probably.
There's a bunch of autocorrect in here.
Okay.
Kumite from the oh-so-sackable Jean-Claude Van Damme movie or joint Bloodsport. And Scott, the award for best use of a shower curtain has to go to the one that is barely wrapped around Mila Jovovich at the beginning of the first Resident Evil movie. Or maybe I'm just envious. Boobies!
Oh, man. I want to go see the new Resident Evil. I know I'm one of the few.
Those movies make money. People go. So
I want to see the new one. I'm a big,
has anyone
a big fan.
Seen any of them?
Yeah,
of
the I've seen the first two.
I have.
Seen the first
I haven't
two.
Seen any of them. And
so, they're trashy fun. They're
so worth seeing. I think I've seen the first two.
Mila. Same. Mila is the best female action star that we have right now, if you ask me. She's just fantastic.
Well, hold on. Let's play with that. Who is our favorite action chick star right now? And you're
now, of course, you got the Avengers with
Beckinsale.
She's also very good.
Beckinsale's pretty good.
She's got her own little series run thing going there too.
Yeah, but you're not going to give it to Avengers chick. She's slow and soft.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I never bought that for a minute. Mila Kunis, if she could just learn how to run around, she'd be all right.
She could run around. You're like a girl. What's wrong with you?
I can't wait for next week's show where we can talk about the overt sexism that existed in 1977.
Right.
I can't think of any others. Who else is
there? A few years ago, I would have said Angelina Jolie. Like she just was on pace.
Now, do you say Jolly on purpose or is it, or do you?
Yes, because he knows it drives me nuts. Every time he says them, we're going, Jolly!
Wow.
But you know what? Actually, she was pretty good. She could kick some trash back in her, like, what days? Like,
yeah, the salt. Well, salt was
salt.
Awesome.
Salt. Salt was like all right.
Still good.
Yeah. I didn't hate salt. That salt was all right. Wasn't great.
Even the Tomb Raider movies were watchable because of her action.
Oh, I have to admit, I've never seen either of those movies.
Really like Ali Larder. I wish that Heroes had been a series of movies rather than a ever declining TV show.
Yeah. I liked her on that football movie where she had whipped cream on her boobs.
Oh yeah, but, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But I just have to call out, man, even though I can't name anything other than Chuck, Yvonne Strahovski.
Oh yeah, she's great.
In Chuck, she is just ass kicking from beginning to end.
She make buck teeth look good.
Dude,
she does. She has big old buck teeth. Yvonne,
no. You're
pictures,
no,
pictures, photos.
You're misremembering Yvonne Strahovski.
No, she may have had work since, but how do you say her name? Yvonne what?
Strahovski. Strahovski.
Okay, we're gonna find this. Right,
it
shows me somebody named Evan Strahovski. Some dude.
It's a reach though, because she hasn't really made films that I can think of. Like, it's too bad too. She should.
Right.
There she is. Yeah, she's also in the Mass Effect movies 2 and 3, or mainly 2. But if she gives you a big old smile, she got a couple of those big front teeth, dude, just right
here,
down
here. Here they come. Look out.
Yep, they're big.
Hate
she's
talking
cute, though.
About people with no, Scott Johnson.
She's hot. No, don't get me wrong. No. I don't think it hurts her. In fact, I think it's a cute thing. But she's got buck. I guarantee you she's got buck. Buck.
She's got buck. I need a shirt that says that. She's got buck.
She totally has buck. Somebody go watch her do something and you'll go, oh, yeah, Scott's right. Because she's got buck.
Look at those bucks.
I bet you in real life Lucy Liu could kick all her asses.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I like her freckles. Mm-hmm. She's cute freckles. You don't see a lot of freckles on Asian ladies.
I give up.
Here we go with the Asian stereotype.
I give up.
You know, you don't see very many freckles on them Asian chicks.
Buck teeth, freckles.
You sound like a couple of guys are having to come help you do a hit. They're working right? for the name Buck Teeth and Freckles.
Buck Teeth and Freckles.
You want me? I should rub them out. All
so
right.
By the way, the Resident Evil movie is currently holed up in the IMAX theater near here. And that's how I determine what the loudest movie is currently showing. That's the whichever they put in the IMAX room. Mm-hmm. And Friday night, I went to see Finding Nemo 3D.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
I've heard.
Really.
Such a good movie.
Does, it did a great job with the 3D. I had no complaints. And they put this. Regal has this this occasional thing called an RPX theater. And I just want to say, if you find a Regal RPX theater, go see whatever is playing there. You really should. Like,
I've never seen it. What is this movie called? Whatever?
What is RPX? What does that even stand
it's
for?
It's the Regal Premiere Experience. And it's a 60-foot screen that's very similar to the one they use in IMAX. And it's got a dual projector, which is perfect for 3D. It's just perfect.
Does
it's very
have,
bright.
Rumbly seats and all that kind of stuff is like a full
yes.
featured. Oh wow!
Huge leather.
Only
high
if you
back
got gas
seats. And in the scene in Finding Nemo, where the kid with the braces taps on the glass of the fish tank, and you're inside the fish tank, it was the loudest experience of my life. Wow. I've never been so shaken by sound. I highly recommend this thing.
I recommend double feature. See Finding Nemo 3D, followed up by.
My scrot
in 3D.
You'll feel like my scrot like is just coming out at you.
It's coming like right
the, I like that Nibbit just played that like yeah. like it was a clip.
Like get the soundboard.
Yeah. I don't have access to the soundboard.
That's great. All right.
I thought it would take too long to have you queue it up.
Next week, we have Empire of the Ants. Empire of the Ants. That's where all the uncles are killed off, and it's all women with purses. It's rough. Look for – oh, it's aunts. Sorry, I pronounced it wrong. Empire of the Aunts.
kind of hard to believe that's a real movie.
I can't wait, dude. I cannot wait to talk about Empire of the Ants because mm-hmm. I love any science fiction movie, old or new, where bugs, spiders, or anything like that gets huge. I love that.
Right.
Sure. Some of my favorite stuff, giant lizards, whatever. I bring it.
It's just too bad they just couldn't have called this Ants with an exclamation.
They should have.
Right.
They should have. And they could have. Well, no, not yet. It wasn't. They could have taken it then, and then DreamWorks would have gotten around to them and went, what do we do? Empire of the Ants. actually, you know what? They swap those titles. They both fit better.
Right.
They don't. They do, don't they?
Right, they do.
Totally true.
Empire of the Ants and Ants.
Yeah.
They like it.
Ants.
No
exclamation point on the Woody Allen Sylvester Stallone one.
I just realized how far away we are from the truly amazing female action stars. That we managed to talk about that topic and not bring up Linda Hamilton and Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but Sigourney Weaver's not currently.
Of the day, yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't give
but
it
I'm
to
just saying, like, look
in
how far
day.
Away we are. In 1991, Linda Hamilton was a marvel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Miss Marvel?
Now she is really weird looking. Check
oh,
her,
my God.
Check her out sometime.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
She has buck.
She's got buck.
Oh wait, I forgot. What is today's chicken a bucket? Did this movie have one?
Oh,
Everybody, every movie.
I got
has
one
it.
For. I got one for next time. But this one, I'm trying to remember.
This movie. This movie pretty strictly kills people off. It introduces them and kills them off, or shows you that they're doing all right.
Yeah.
Would they leave anybody?
Yeah, then, well, the guy who showed up originally with the...
Oh, yeah, right.
With the part.
Desert guy.
Oh,
desert
guy. Right. That looked kind of like girl eyes and you weren't sure?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
It was like, Yato, hand, again, threatening Jabba with the freaking...
Right.
Woo!
and also, Iggy Pop, kind of a chick in the bucket.
No.
A little bit.
No.
He didn't even... But he didn't even bookmark it. He had the top of the thing, couple of things in the middle, and then nothing at the end.
Right.
I thought he had something at the end.
Yeah, he did have something. He was the reveal of this being a population.
Mark 13.
Oh, and the 800 new employees, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, never mind then.
He was the dick in the bucket.
Yeah.
Would have been, but no.
Nice. Well, all of that and more coming up soon. Let's get out of here and give people a new episode next week, which, again, will be Empire of the Ants. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, go to filmsack.com. Oh, yeah. And by the way, we're looking like Mondays are our new release date. So I hope everyone's cool with the new schedule. Check it out. Monday mornings, brand new episodes.
By the way,
we hope you like that. Yeah.
If it really bothers you, download it on Monday and listen to it on Friday.
Yeah, whatever you want.
I always feel like this needs to be said. After Empire of the Ants, Rocky V.
Rocky V.
I'm very, very excited.
I still don't think I've seen Rocky V. I always get it confused with 4. Or is it 6?
I know I haven't seen 5.
Which one has Dolph? 4?
Yes,
that's 4.
3 has
Mr. T. Oh, 3 is Miss T.
I don't even know what 5 has. I don't know what the nemesis in 5 is.
Is that
Richard Pryor and
that's what he's trying to
opposite of Rocky.
Isn't five the one he's trying to teach the new guy?
Wait. Rocky, we got to come up with more movies that do like the Richard Pryor Superman 3 did. There have to be other examples like that, where you take a perfectly fine action adventure thing and then put Richard Pryor in it. We got to find other examples of that. You got to find it. They're out there. I know these other movies exist. Sure. All right.
Sure.
Anyway, in the meantime, go to filmsack.com. Check out the links to everything. And, you know what's going on. You know the deal. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @filmsack. Quick note that if you want to participate in the season 2 of Autopilot Kickstarter that Tom Merritt and I are doing, that's still going for another 30 days, 27 days or whatever. You can find details at autopilotshow.com, autopilotshow.com, or at frogpants.com. That works as well. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that. That's going to do it for us here at FilmSack. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Stir it.
Mm-hmm.
Stir it, baby.
Smells like apple pie. This is Angry Bob, the man with the industrial dick, coming to you loud and clear on WAR Radio with the good news and the bad news. Oh, we all walk the wibberly wobberly walk, and we talk the wibberly wobberly talk, and all we all wear wibberly wobberly ties, and we all look at the pretty girls with wibberly wobberly eyes. Kill, kill, kill! Today's death count is 578.
My scrope brings all the girls to the yard.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.